Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We begin in the name of Christ. Amen. It is such a joy to be standing here inside St. Anne's Church, to be here with you as a newcomer to Maryland, to this diocese, to this parish. It is hard to move one's family at any time, to be in between spaces, to be in between belonging. And it's particularly hard in this time of pandemic when all of life already is in upheaval and the consolations of normalcy are limited. And so I thank you on behalf of all who have been new here in your history, in ordinary and in extraordinary times, on behalf of all who are new this day, for welcoming me and my family, bringing us meals, transporting boxes, sharing ideas on how to enjoy the Chesapeake Bay, and inviting me on retreat with you. Your warmth is felt, and we are grateful. It is an unsettling time for us. Just last Sunday, I stood in the pulpit of St. James in Lancaster, where I had been stationed for 4 years, and enjoyed Mass for the first time in person in 7 months. And then later that day, we moved here to join all of you here in Annapolis. But if it feels like a confusing, uncertain time for my family personally, moving cities, it also still is an extended time of upheaval for our communities and our society, a time of disorientation, to borrow the language of theologian Walter Brueggemann. All that was held in normal fell away months ago, disrupted by pandemic. Hence, I am standing in St. Anne's now for only the second time ever, and the church is empty. And although you can see me, I can't see you. This time of collective life upheaval has raised questions for me. At times, I am noticing what I am grieving, having a hard time forgetting all that lies behind, as Paul says. At times, I'm also noticing what is being birthed, straining forward into the newness that is being offered in Christ. And at other times, I'm wondering the same question that the people of God posed to Moses last week. Where is the Lord? Is the Lord with us or not? Frederick Buechner once wrote that the story of any one of us is in some measure the story of all of us. And during this time, this season, I have found courage and wisdom in the sacred stories that have been handed down to us from one generation to the next, that can show us how to go through our own times when things are not making sense. And they can show us how to be transformed through them and to reorient ourselves in a new awareness and with new resolve. Our sacred story today shows us that God has given to the community and to individuals what is needed to move from a place of disorientation to a place of new orientation. It is well timed that we have been journeying with Moses and his family and the people of God in the Exodus stories. The story of Moses and the broader story of the people of God speaks to me. So much of my story and perhaps of your story is found in the story of the people of God. The risk of leaving what is familiar by choice or by circumstance. The assurance of God's presence along the journey. Those fleeting moments, perhaps terrifying as in today's story, when God comes so close to us and we come so close to God. The sense of longing, the anticipation of promises fulfilled when way suddenly opens. We meet the people of God today still journeying in their extended time of disorientation, having been taken from the place that was their normal, if unfree. We remember the longer view of this story. It's a desert box story for our children. And how Moses had said to the Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and how each time Pharaoh had said no until he said yes, and how they hurried, taking bread for the journey. And when they crossed the Red Sea into freedom, you'll remember it was Miriam, Moses' sister who led them in the dancing, and how as they set out on the journey, they followed fire by night and smoke by day. And as we've heard the past couple of weeks, they complained. It's not enough food, there's not enough water. But today they arrive at the centerpiece of the Exodus story. The narrative has been building to this very point. Here God speaks directly to the people, not in mediated fashion through Moses, which terrifies them. The mountain is smoking, and there is a trumpet sound coming from somewhere. But here we see the community being invited to reorient themselves on this journey, as God reveals to the people what we commonly call the Decalogue, the 10 words or the 10 commandments, and what our children know as the 10 best ways to live. God gives them directly to the people to help them move towards a new ordering. Quite simply, this reordering entails what? Taking their attention to the love of God and to the love of neighbor, and resting in the awareness that God loves them. Here in this central moment, the community is given what they need, guiding policies to direct their common life, even in a time of upheaval, and words that tell them that they have enough, that they don't need other gods, that they don't need to obtain what their neighbor has. God is giving them what they need right here. In the simplified language of godly play, the 10 best ways to live sound like this. Don't serve other gods, make no idols for worship, be serious when you say my name, keep the Sabbath holy, honor your mother and father, don't kill, don't break your marriage, don't steal, don't lie, don't even want what others have. Our lectionary today leaves out a few verses from chapter 20. That's what those commas mean in your bulletin if you're following along. Regarding not worshiping idols, the text says that God promises to show steadfast love, mercy, hesed, to the 1,000th generation of those who love God and keep God's commandments. And after being told to work for 6 days, God says on the 7th day, you shall do no work. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the 7th day. I think these are words worth hearing, especially these days. Friends, you are loved to the 1,000th generation. This is good news. Friends, please rest at least one day a week. This is good news. With these words to the community, God shows the people what they need if they are to move to a new awareness and to live more fully into their communal identity as the people of God. They are terrified, of course, and not at all at peace in today's story, and not to ruin the suspense, but next Sunday is the story of the golden calf, not exactly a high point on the journey. But in this defining moment, God gives the people a path that will help them reorient their community towards the best way to live, in harmony with God and with each other. And we are shown a path towards reorientation too, a path that will guide us to our truest selves as we emerge from this disrupted time, trusting that God is drawing terrifyingly close to us. So what does it mean to love God here and now in our own confusing journey? And what does it mean to love neighbor in this time of isolation and social distancing? What does it mean to rest, knowing that we are loved by God and have all that we need as we move through this odd season, becoming more fully who we are collectively, thriving together? As the story of any one of us is in some measure the story of all of us, I am curious to hear your stories. I'm wondering how you are abiding in this time of disorientation. I'm wondering what you're grieving, what is emerging. I'm wondering what simple things you might be able to do this week to turn just a bit more in loving God and loving neighbor. For me, it'll feel quite local, continuing to help my family transition here, perhaps finding rest after 6 intense weeks of preparing to be here with you. But I'm eager to hear your stories for real. Drop me an email, send me a note, happy to meet via Zoom, or in person, socially distant, of course, and my kids are eager to meet yours. We are grateful to be joining you in your story for a time, straining forwards towards Christ with you, coming to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and walking on the path of God's commandments, simply summarized for us today as loving God and loving neighbor, trusting that all of this is given to us freely and out of immense love. Amen.